Thank you, Stefania. My name is Fiona Magoon, and good morning, everybody. We are here today to just talk about the SPD Holdings year-end results, and I have with me Paul Dalton, our Interim Chief Financial Officer. So we will go through our remarks, and then we will have time at the end for questions. So I guide you all to the presentation pack, and starting on page 3. During the second half of 2015, the group delivered on those important capital and strategic initiatives previously announced, and I believe that the trading accounts for the second half of the year showed broad stabilisation in the loss results, as well as further rate carry on the top line. Before exceptional items, the group made a loss before tax of $5 million in the second half of 2015. After a number of once-off exceptional items, the group has made a profit of $12 million in the second half of the year. Put simply, our performance in the second half of 2015 can be considered a stabilising result. Today, we also announced significant governance changes separately. We intend to amalgamate the Holdings and Insurance PLC board. This will lead to new appointments, and four directors will not go forward for re-election at the 2016 AGM. The chairman will be staying on to bring all of this about through the year, and thereafter he does not intend to go forward for re-election at the 2017 AGM. These changes and our transition will need to be careful and orderly, but they allow for a simplification and efficiency in our governance and decision-making structure, and I welcome them today. It will be a simpler structure for a more focused company. Our strategy is clear. We will continue to strengthen our customer base with farming, small businesses, homeowners and motors throughout Ireland, and we have an ambition to see a combined ratio of less than 100% by the fourth quarter of 2016, with a return to full year profitability by 2017. So I am on slide 4 now, and turning to specifics. The group profit after tax of $12 million, I have mentioned, our NAV per share increased by 111 cents since the 30th of June. Our cost savings program, realizing $8 million, has been completed at a cost of approximately $10.5 million. Our prior year reserve and margin for uncertainty was strengthened in the second half by $8 million, largely because of the discount rate changes in the recent appeal case. That's the Gill versus Russell case where the appeal judgment was handed down in November, and broadly speaking, the application was widened in that appeal case. The full year, as I have said, our gross premium is stable at $363 million, 9% price increases offset by 9% in volume loss. Our total prior year reserve strengthening for the year is $96 million. Capital is within our target range of 110 to 130% for the new Solvency II environment, and we have a strong investment return of 2.2% for the year. So on slide 5, last August we set ourselves four big priorities for what we were going to do with the business. We think of these broadly as simplify, focus, de-risk and strengthen, and I would like to take a little bit of time to talk about each of them in turn. I am now on slide 6. So we have completed the sale of 50% of our joint venture in SPD Property and Leisure. That's the hotels, basically, to Farmer Business Development. So we completed that in the half year. Our business model is now simply insurance. We have strong customer relationships with our farmer and business customers. We have real underwriting and risk expertise as Ireland's only agri and agribusiness specialist. And we have a single brand that is being built on value and service for the motorist and homeowning consumer. So reflecting that simpler business, we will have a simpler board structure, overlapping board composition at insurance and holdings PLC levels. The chairman will lead the reorganisation, four holdings directors will not go forward for re-election, and a search is underway to replace those, and the chairman will retire in 2017. on slide 7. From now on, our focus is on building relationships in the agricultural and SME sector using our branch network and unrivaled local relationships. The branch network also brings seamless selection through our local knowledge in those areas in which we operate. We will, throughout 2016, refine our product and service offering in the consumer channel, and we will focus on consistently delivering on our objectives to shareholders, the primary one of which is a return to profitability and to once again being capital accretive. On slide 8, our underwriting risk selection and pricing actions have led to an average 9% price increase with 9% fewer customers, so inherently a less risky pool of business. Further pricing action is warranted and will be carefully applied across business lines, targeting those areas where pricing improvement is most needed. Our cost targets have been achieved. In August, we laid out a savings target of $7 million at a cost of $8 to $10 million to implement through a voluntary redundancy program for 100 people. That program is now completed. 124 employees are leaving our organization, and it has cost us $10.5 million. This will deliver annualized savings of $8 million. Further professional fees and other restructuring charges mean you will see a once-off restructuring charge in the accounts of $11 million. Very importantly to our de-risking objectives, our pension scheme has been closed. 95% of members took the ETV offer, and as a result, we had a one-time gain under IAS 19 of $28 million. And as importantly, volatility to future interest rate movement is much reduced, and a small surplus now exists on the pension at year end, as you can see on page 8. So slide 9, our very significant losses this year arise largely from the $88 million strengthening of prior year reserves as reported in our half year report in August, plus the further $8 million in the second half announced today. The second half charge arises from the wider application of the discount rate change in bodily injury cases after the appeal judgment handed down in November on the Gilby Russell case. Other than that, we saw no material prior year movement at year end, and we believe our reserve position is sound. So while we had included a provision for that judgment going against us in our margin for uncertainty at the half year, we have prudently, I believe, decided not to use that provision given the inherently uncertain claims environment, and hence the $8 million has been added to the $88 million at the 30th of June to make a full year charge of $96 million. And that is because we continue to operate in an inherently uncertain claims environment. We have improved our capital position substantially through the monetization of the JV venture and the injection of cash proceeds into the insurance company and through the issuance of a convertible 10-year bond to Fairfax. So on slide 10, a lot has happened in the last 6 months and our results are quite noisy, and you'll have to go through all of that in time and we'll be available to help you with it. But I would say that we have done all the things we said we would do at the half year. And I suppose I am now laying out for you the things that we believe we will do in 2016 and onwards into 2017, so that we will be able to come back to you and talk about those things and note our progress towards our return to profitability. Our focus will be in 2016 in accomplishing our goals across those four same areas as laid out there. The board simplification, a reorganised customer focus, the single brand SBV, improving claim settlement rates, strengthening the branch network, a change to our financial solutions business model. We have a life and pensions intermediary, and we intend to fundamentally reorganise how we deliver to our customers in that area. And we will deliver a new IT system by the middle of next year, which we have made significant investments in as part of our future. Our pricing and underwriting actions will continue through 2016. We see further increases in insurance premiums on the horizon for almost every insurance customer in Ireland, and we will carefully and selectively apply those rates across our book. We will offer the enhanced transfer value offer that we gave to current members of the scheme, deferred pension members in 2016, and we will make significant appointments to strengthen the management team. The Chief Financial Officer, we have appointed the Chief Risk Officer already, you have seen an RMS on that, and the appointment of the Chief Commercial Officer. On slide 11, in terms of the wider claims environment, has played a key part in FCD's very disappointing 2015 results. And at this stage, I believe it is excessive that the cost of claims and all of the ancillary costs associated are at an all-time high in Ireland. Our pricing and risk selection corrective actions began in 2014 and have shown some positive results with a broad stabilisation in claims frequency in 2015, which was very good news, and indeed the emergence of a slowdown, very importantly, towards the last part of the year, quarter four. As going against that improvement, we do have severe weather in property-related risks in the last quarter, and specifically in the last few weeks of the year. We had four storms. They were all below cat level from a reinsurance perspective, so they were all below the 5 million mark. And the total cost of those four storms to FCD is 11 million. Large claims, we had 11 claims in the year larger than 1 million, so that was well above our 7-year average, and is to some extent random. It goes up and down, but it was reasonably high, particularly in the second half of the year. And then finally, the reserve strengthening of 96 million on prior years of adverse development. And slide 12 sets that out further, and you can see some broad shifts. I will have spoken at length to many of you about this at the half year, where we saw a broad slowdown. So when you take if I'm looking at the first half waterfall slide to the right on page 12, and you can see in current year claims 128 million offset by payments in the half year of 101 million. Broadly speaking, in a stable book, you would expect those to be broadly matched, not exactly matched, but you can see the slowdown there because they're not matched. In the second half of the year, we had 117 million in new claims coming in, as you would expect, and we had 109 going back out. So you can see that we did make progress in the pickup of the settlement rate in the second half of the year, and that was very welcome to us. It does take two to settle any claim, meaning the other side and the Gill Russell case and the discount rate appeal judgment does appeal to, while it did not go it widened the application to a much broader level than the original judgment, it does seem to have freed up the system slightly and has meant that the other side was displaying more of a willingness to engage with us in order to settle out those claims. And that, as I say, was the news in the latter part of the year, so some tentative signs that things were going back to a better settlement rate. A further slowdown in January, so it's a bit early to call yet, but at least progress in the right direction. On slide 13, I guess I've said most of what's on this slide already. No further material prior year development since the half year. The Gill Russell judgment widened the application of the ruling to more cases. This adds an extra 6 million to the best estimate, and while we had allowed for it, we haven't given up the margin for uncertainty because we chose to be prudent. Otherwise, the reserve position is similar to that at the mid-year, and all of our assumptions are holding up well in terms of the changes that we made to the new reserving methodology. Motor frequency has reduced, and we have had a higher higher level of large claims in 2015, but they are well reinsured above €2 million. So with that, I think I'll hand you over to Paul, who's going to take you through the numbers in more detail, and we're going to, I think, slide 15, Paul.
Thank you. If we look at slide 15, we will see that there was an overall loss for the year of €85 million, and that loss is substantially driven by the reserve strengthening in the first half to which Fiona has referred. And the negative EPS number is a reflection of the impact of that reserve strengthening. Within the overall result, there is a current year loss ratio of 78%, which is a slight improvement over the corresponding figure of 79% for 2014. The expense ratio at 27% is broadly consistent between 2014 and 2015. And I think we can say that an investment return of 2.2% is a good result in the current low-yield environment. Going on to slide 16, which splits the results between the first half and the second half of 2015, you can see that premium income between the first and second half was at a broadly similar level, but the amount of claims incurred in the second half has reduced substantially, and in the second half we have an underwriting loss of €22 million, which is substantially down from the €103 million in the first half, and we believe this shows that the underwriting actions which were implemented in the earlier part of the year are demonstrably beginning to bear fruit. You'll also see from this slide that the second half loss before exceptional items was €5 million compared with 96 in the first half. We also see the two once-off exceptional items, the €28 million benefit from pension curtailment and an €11 million charge for restructuring costs, which are largely related to the cost of our voluntary severance program. We are looking at cost savings of €8 million coming through from the first quarter of 2016, which reflects a reasonable payback period on that €11 million cost. If we go on to slide 17, we can see there's been a reprofiling of our investment portfolio with a significant shift from cash to bonds. But this is at a quite acceptable risk as the bond portfolio is overall an A-rated portfolio. Again, as I said, the 2.2% return in the current environment is a good performance. If we go on to slide number 18, we will see that we ended the year with a net asset value of 623 cents per share. And we are now within our target capital ratio for Solvency II, which we set at a range of 110 to 130%. And this reflects the benefit of the various capital raising steps that were executed in the past year. I now hand back to Fiona.
Paul, so on slide 20, I guess we would consider, as almost everyone does at this stage, and we've quoted a variety of people that release these stats and things, we consider Ireland's economy to be healing. And once again, we have seen an uplift in domestic demand, while rural Ireland, which is our strongest state, has clearly lagged urban centres. There is growing evidence of a strong uplift at this stage in domestic demand. The medium-term outlook for insurance growth in our key markets, Ireland, is good, That said, the Irish insurance market was loss-making once again in 2014 with a combined ratio of 111%, and we expect that the insurance market will be loss-making again in 2015. Slide 21, structural changes in the Irish courts have been inflationary. Changes to the court jurisdiction limits the circuit court uplift from just under 40k to just under 60k. The creation of the Court of Appeal and many new judges coming into the High Court, the discount rate ruling and the recovery benefit assistance scheme introduced last year for social welfare payments. All of these have led to a significant court inflation, and the level of awards in Irish courts has increased by more than 30%. It also led to a slowdown in settlements in late 2014, and that continued right through 2015, far off. Some early signs, as I have said, towards the end of the year that things were picking up, but progress is too slow from our perspective. Slide 22. Leads us to continue to be positive about our growth potential on the top line for our SDB. We see continued growth in the Irish market. Price hardening will continue in 2016. We will be selective and targeted around how we apply that price. And in particular, our key agri-related book is targeted for low single-digit price increases, with motorists targeted for price increases above early teens. Our focus is on relenting in this respect. We will return to profitability. We continue to target quarter four 2016 for a sub-100% combined ratio. Given the increased capital requirements in Solvency II and the challenges for investment income from a low interest rate environment, we believe a medium-term target of low teens ROE is more realistic for SDD than the previously articulated long-term target of 18%. On slide 23, our four key areas for 2016 are therefore to continue to simplify our business, insurance only, building our brand around an efficient platform. We will focus on the Irish agriculture and small business markets, core areas of underwriting and customer service excellence for SDD. We will de-risk further through reducing costs, settling our claims to reduce the level of reserves, implement our board governance structure. We will emerge leaner and stronger, I believe, with a strong focus on restoring underwriting profitability before the end of the year. As I come back to talk to you during the summer, you can expect to hear me again on these themes. Today, I am back to let you know that we have done the things that we told you we would do last August. There is no doubt that this year's results are very difficult for our shareholders. However, we are already building momentum towards restoring profitability for SDD and for our shareholders. SDD has a proud track record of profitable business and excellent customer relationships with the farming, small business and consumer customers. Insurance is an inherently cyclical industry. Although 2015 has been a very challenging year and market conditions remain difficult, we are tackling the issues and delivering on our targets. We will continue to do that and to keep you appraised of our progress. I am confident that SDD is on the road to recovery and that there are better days ahead. Thank you. So we will take questions from that speaker now, and then we will go to the phone thereafter. So we'll take questions in the room first and go to the phone lines thereafter.
Kian Hardy, Investec. Good morning. There's a couple of questions for myself. Just on gross written premium, it's broadly flat year on year. With any price increases being offset by volume decreases. I just wondering if you can comment on that and the outlook, how you see that evolving going forward. And then secondly, you just mentioned there that you've reduced your ROE target. I just wondering if you can comment on how you get towards that 10 to 12% target. I know you've mentioned the return to profitability in 2017, but this is something that we look towards 2018 and hitting those levels. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. very good question, Keane. I have given any guidance that I'm going to give, so I will attempt to non-answer your question. I suppose in terms of gross written premium, I suppose how am I thinking about that? We will put further rate on next year, but that will come at a cost, and we will lose some business as we do that. Some of that business we will lose more willingly than other parts of the business, but I'm not giving guidance on the top line. I think the thing about price, though, is that you end up with an inherently less risky pool of business. You end up with a better pool of business at the end, but you have to be careful not to damage yourself. In terms of the ROE, that is an interesting one. We see two things going on there. So investment rates, we think the phrase that you most hear is lower for longer, and we agree with that. So broadly speaking, we think that investment rates and our investment income will remain at very low levels for the medium term. We don't see an end to that just yet. So there is that going on, and that won't be like that forever, but for now we think it is. And then the other thing that's going on is that Solvency II drives a higher capital requirement, so a higher E. And broadly speaking, that part of it is at least, we think, a structural permanent shift of about 2% on the ROE.
Morning, Fiona Hayes, County Fitzgerald. Regarding the central bank scheme inspections, are there any areas that you would particularly concerned about? Is there any where you think you might screen well relative to competitors? And also, do you see any realistic prospects of any new Irish government tackling the problems in the insurance industry?
Thanks, Fiona. I think with respect to the, we noticed with great interest the central bank's inspection, but we had already been out by then, so their inspection came after we had made an announcement of a very significant half-year losses, and we had already changed our approach to reserving, and because of what we were seeing in our own data, and I'd be a firm believer that your own data is always the best and the most reliable indication of what you should do and where you should go next. So we looked and went through the central bank data, and we stacked up pretty well against that, but we'd already taken our lumps, as it were, in terms of the half-year charge. So there wasn't much that was news there other than misery enough company, I guess. In terms of structurally what we can do about it, then I think the claims environment, in my simple way of thinking about it, it falls into two buckets. The controllable, the ones that SPD can do something about and is doing something about, around how we manage claims fraud, how we look at claims leakage, the efficiencies in our process in order to settle as early as possible and as fairly to the customer, but advantageously to SPD as possible. The earlier we set the claims, the better, I believe, for SPD, the better for the customer. So those are all controllable in so far as we can, and we're working on all of those. The other ones that require more a kind of structural shift in the way courts do business, in the amount of legal fees that are paid, in the fact that things go to the personal injury board or that things go directly to the court, require industry and government response. And there, I think it will take longer, but I think SPD, you know, we went in to talk to them, we were called in by the government, all the CEOs, to talk about the floods and to talk about what was going on. There was a very broad conversation there. A government working group has been set up to look at the issues in not just the floods and property-related areas, but across what's happening in insurance, specifically as well in liability and bodily injury claims. And I think that we will work hard to make sure that Ireland knows that it is making a choice and that there is no way to have an expensive, very expensive legal system, a very generous court awards, and for the few, and to have cheap insurance for the many, and that those things are in fact mutually exclusive, and we will be working very hard on that, and we are very much up for any working group that any government, whenever it decides to continue to pursue, we will be keen to be involved there.
Maybe just a couple of points, Fiona, if you don't mind. You kind of gave a little mention there earlier in relation to maybe potential ratings movement. I'm just wondering, implicit in the non-guidance that was given in terms of revenue, can we take it that we're looking at maybe volume numbers and they're kind of equal enough to kind of level? Would that be kind of the thought process around motor and on the liability side, if there's anything you can say on it? Just also on... you mentioned in the presentation aspect of strengthening the branch network, if there's any sort of visibility you can give us on that. And then finally, just wondering if you're getting a ratings action that you need, or volumes are starting to stabilise, or maybe a little bit lower this year, if that's the case, does it become a point in time when you become a little bit more comfortable then in terms of retaining more of the business, more retention, less reinsurance, we could start to get a little bit of revenue momentum, more positive momentum on that front?
There's a lot there. I suppose, again, in the non-guidance on the top line, it's equal and opposite. I think, broadly speaking, okay, but I would ask you to note, Eamon, the previously announced that we will have less focus on the broker channel, so I would expect, you know, broadly speaking, that there would be less volume coming from that. So the equal and opposite thing, I think, probably holds true in the 70% that is our farm and business. I think it's in the 20% that is our consumer, but I think the 10% that is our broker, I expect volume there over the year to be probably less than it was last year. In terms of net retention, increasing net retention, I think that our risk appetite for an outside surprise is probably reasonably limited at the moment. So we have just gone through our reinsurance renewal, and I think broadly speaking, with some changes, our reinsurance is broadly speaking similar to the program that we had. Program we had last year. I think we dropped retention slightly on large claims. And I think we're now at the $1.5 million, whereas previously we were at $2 million. And I get that's driven. We want to make steady progress back to profitability, and we don't have a huge appetite to have a big outside surprise generated by a large loss or a sudden event. So I think for now we would see our reinsurance program continuing as is. The branch network for SBD is a tremendous strategic advantage. We are the only ones in our space. It brings us very strong customer relationships. We have seen healthy competition from some of our competitors, particularly in the farm area, and I think what I would like to see, and what I think when we bring announcements about our new management team to you via RNS, hopefully before we all meet again, then I think what we will see is the strengthening of talent in that area and an empowerment of the branches. We have set modest new business targets, particularly in the commercial area, for 2016 throughout the branch network, and I would be very hopeful that the branch network will deliver on that and be a strong component of the relationships that they have in the rural areas, and they help us in the risk selection if used properly because they know the businesses locally.
In the line from Davy, you've addressed my question on broker distribution. The other one was just on Solvency II. I can understand your reluctance to spell out the calculations, and now that you've addressed the pension part of it, can you perhaps give us some insight into what it's most sensitive to? Is it your business mix? Is it balance sheet structure, etc.?
There's no doubt about it. We're on the standard formula, EMIR for Solvency II, and there is no doubt about it that the single thing that we're most sensitive to is the premium or reserve risk. So to the extent that we can settle out those claims, drive the overall quantum of claims down, then the capital charge it reduces accordingly. The more reserves we have on the books, the higher the capital charge, because it's inherently a risk-based calculation. We continue to hold out on disclosing our numbers until the rest of the industry does, and we really don't make any apology for that. No, we won't be independent Irish insurer, and it would be a competitive disadvantage to a more public round number. So we're still coy on giving that number until we absolutely have to.
Hello, Sean Cronin from Investec. Two questions. Firstly, in relation to the comment around slowdown in claims frequency, is that entirely related to actually industry or other slowdown trends as distinct from actually the volume reduction experienced over the course of 2015? And secondly, then, I note your comment in relation to the refinement of the products and service offering. What does that mean exactly, and I suppose how do you see your product suite develop over the coming years?
Okay, so the first one on frequency, no, I think frequency is up. Broadly speaking, there's more motorists on the roads, there's more accidents, there's more, so our claims frequency being down from our perspective is very much, I think, an SPD result. It is driven, as you say, by two things. It is driven by volume reduction, but it is also driven by improved risk selection, and those areas, I suppose, where we have been much better, I believe, in targeting which cohorts and which classes within the overall pool of motorists that are out there that we want to target and be with. So I think it's both volume and our own improved risk selection. With relation to product and service offering, I think SPD grew over the last number of years, and it didn't grow madly. Insurance growth is all at different years, grew reasonably modestly and reasonably steadily. But it grew with its existing product. So what was originally a farm product that was offered to the farmer driver, and it then took that, and broadly speaking, it made some adaptations along the way, applied that into the consumer area. And I think you have to stand back from that and say, what does the consumer want for? What do they want to pay for? And if you're offering either more than they're willing to pay for, then you're wasting value from a shareholder perspective, or you're not at least having an acknowledgement of loyalty from the consumer that they're getting something that's different or better. So I think we haven't done a good enough job there, and I think what you will see over the next while is a refined customer offering for the broad base of consumer, where the consumer will have more optionality around what they think is value for money, rather than us telling them that this policy is great value for money and you should really have it this way. And that's what we would like to build a path to. We need the new insurance system, and we need to work through how that product offering will work. And so that's the direction we see ourselves going in from a consumer perspective.
Very nice. Just in relation to distribution of other products, do you see the offering broadening in time potentially, given the synergies there may be with other types of financial services or indeed other products?
I think that is an over time ambition. I think for this year we will refine our product offering in financial solutions like pension. We'll improve our car product. We think our home product is one of the best in the market. We have a very strong home product and a very strong and loyal home book of business. So we will continue to build that out. So that's a very competitive area with far less price increases evident in that area. So those three areas we'll stick to anything on right now before we add anything wise and exciting like pet insurance or anything.
Hello.
Okay, we can, I think, go to the phone now for any questions over the phone.
And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, please star 1 to ask an audio question. Fiona, we seem to have no questions at this time.
Okay, well, if that's the case, we can close. Thank you very much, everybody, for your attention, and Peter and Paul and I will be available for any questions that do occur to you at any time in the future. Thanks.